I want to continue for a little while about this movie Whiplash with Miles Teller that I've been discussing the last time. As you can gather, am very, very strongly in favor of this movie. I hesitate to tell you that as of today, I will have seen it, getting ready for this, 5 times. But that doesn't make me crazy because I have done that rarely in my life. And The Fountainhead beat this out. I read The Fountainhead over 40 times. When work of art pulls me right in like that, there's no amount of time that I resent. I want to get in that world. And now this is my personal identification. I don't say it should be yours. I identified watching the movie with that 19-year-old student. It was from a time in my life, 50 or 60 years ago. It brought back to me the world I lived in then and struggled to learn and learn ever more with Ayn Rand as my teacher. If you let me boast, I would say my motivation then was the same as the student's drummer. At least I feel that. You may think that's a boast, but I feel he is me as I was in the sense of consumed by a passion in relation to which nothing else mattered. Now, I certainly don't mean to compare Ayn Rand to this wild teacher in the movie, because she was simply radically different from the teacher in every way that counts. Her motive even was not to develop me as to identify the truth for me if I wanted to pick it up. And she was always friendly, well, always except a few cases where she got angry at me. She was friendly, courteous, well-spoken, stable, etc. But I do nevertheless experience a similarity to the teacher. And I think that's inherent. If you have a demanding teacher and you're trying to use your capacity to the full, I experienced learning from her for those years as a series of clarifications, pleasure, sudden enlightenment, but interspersed with shocks. And I can relate the shocks to the symbol thrown at Charlie Parker. And I'll give you the best example. I finished a chapter in The Ominous Parallels. Ayn Rand read every chapter, and I was going out of town. And up until that chapter, I had thought what I was handing in, I knew was not good. But this time I thought, finally, I know what I want to say and have said it. So I'll be able to come back and hear praise as against what she said in the early draft. And I came back and said, well, what did you think? And she looked at me and she said, what were you doing in this chapter? I have no idea what you're talking about. And that to me was just like the symbol, a real shock. She didn't say it in order to have a psychological effect, but in a way it did have a psychological effect, because the idea was, I am going to fix this, build on it, and continue. And as a matter of fact, I wrote about 150 type page commentary on the mistakes that I made in that chapter that caused her to think that I was in another dimension. And actually, I had been, and that was the first discovery of rationalism and objectivism. I was the guilty one and was on that chapter. So if you can take that metaphorically as the symbol, it certainly worked. I did go back and I continued, and this is relevant because the student asked at one point, the teacher, with your severity and demand for perfection, wouldn't a Charlie Parker be discouraged and give up? And the teacher's answer was, not if he was Charlie Parker. No one would be able to stop him. He would just work harder. And I agree. I agree with that. And now I'll tell you the best line in the movie, in the context of they're all working for the maximum creativity. Teacher says sincerely to the student, do you want to know the two most hurtful words in the English language? Good job. Because good job is, it's not great, but it's good enough. You can leave it now and go on to other things. You can settle for less than the best. And his point was, if they had said to Charlie Parker, well, it wasn't great, but it was a good job, he never would have gone home and did what he did. So I'm quite convinced of that. I'd be very careful if I ever talk to a student again to use that. Now, I just have some random things to say about this movie. Even though it was very serious, it was funny in many places, and I actually laughed aloud, especially at the teacher's language when it was quotable, which I never do at a movie. Another point, if you're at all interested in bands or orchestras, this is not a major point, but if you have that interest, which I do, you got backstage rehearsals, which I had never seen, and really just rapt watching. For instance, the counting would be 5, 6, 7, 8, go. But you would come in off the, just off the hall. They're all sitting there. You walk in, nobody has any clue what he's going to say. He'd say, okay, bar 28, sax, 5, 6, 7, 8. And at that moment, they had to get right in. And if one is off a tiny bit, he hears it. So you're really on edge to see, can they get through this? I never particularly like drums because they have no melody and no harmony, and they're usually very loud. So when I heard that this is a jazz drummer, I thought, well, I'll have to ignore the fact that it's drums. I wish it had been piano. But the drums were so excellent, and they were all actually performed by this same kid. The drumming was so fascinating, so complex, so fast and then slow, so varied, that I started to enjoy it. And by the end, believe it or not, I really liked it. And at one point, the drumming brought tears to my eyes. I never would have thought the drumming could have that effect. Now, just a word on the actor. They're both, I think, really, really tops. Why this Miles Teller is not a big star, I have no idea, because he is able to play this incredibly complicated and fast set of drums and cymbals while changing his gaze and his facial expression according to the script and the director. I think either one alone is difficult, but the combination is really something. To play downcast, and then as you're speeding up to beat, you have to smile and turn to the right. I just can't imagine how that's done. And the teacher, of course, for his particular role, I can't imagine anyone else that could project that combination of sarcasm, which eats the student alive, and at the same time, sweetness, humor, passion, even loving. What's interesting about this movie, another thing, this movie started as an 18-minute short for a film festival, and someone got the idea of expanding it to a full movie. And, usually when that's done, the full movie's got a lot of padding because they don't have anything really to add. But obviously this was, I haven't seen the 18-minute, but it's totally rewritten or largely rewritten because you would never know that this was an 18-minute movie expanded this. And now, I have to say, I guess in apology, that I must already have oversold this and therefore raised your expectations beyond what any movie could fulfill. And I hasten to say, it's not an objectivist movie, in the sense that the only philosophy that it presents that I would agree with is the passion, the value of creative passion. But I would never describe it that way. I know that I've raised your expectations too high and you'll all hate the movie, but I had to do it because I started going to movies about 75 years ago and I have never had this powerful and enduring a reaction. So, if you want, if I've interested you at all, it's been in limited release. It's been down here in Orange County in California for 6 days. And then they told us it was gone till after January. And then it started again at a different theater down here. So it may still be where you are, or they may have just put it out to hope to get an Academy Award and then release the movie again in January, or maybe it'll be a DVD. I hope you get a chance to see it, because I'd like this movie to succeed, and I'm sure some of you have to enjoy it. I just repeat at the end, the people I know Everyone said they loved it, but they hate the teacher so bad that it wrecked a movie for them. So you have to be able to accept the teacher as the Charlie Parker model and not as a maniacal sadist.